We're going to look at Revelation chapter 1, the glorified risen Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that we can have in your word. Pray you open up our understanding, God, that we would understand what your spirit is saying to us who believe. We love you, God, and ask for your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The Greek word translated revelation means unveiling. It gives us our English word apocalypse, which is a word for chaos and catastrophe. It means to uncover, to reveal, to make manifest. Since Calvary, the resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, God has ushered in the last days. God is fulfilling his purposes. The church has been going now for 2,000 years since Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And we're right at the end of the church's dispensation. In Revelation chapters 1 to 3, Christ is seen as the exalted priest-king ministering to the churches. In Revelation chapters 4 and 5, he's seen in heaven as a glorified Lamb of God reigning on the throne. In Revelation chapters 6 through 18, Christ is judging the earth. In Revelation 19, he returns to earth as a conquering King of Kings. Revelation closes with the heavenly bridegroom ushering his bride, the church, into the glorious heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. John wrote the book of Revelation around AD 95, during the reign of the Roman Emperor Titus Flavius Domitian. The emperor demanded he be worshipped as Lord and God, but because the Christians refused, it brought severe persecution. Tradition says it was Domitian who banished John to the island of Patmos, which was a Roman penal colony off the coast of Asia Minor. History tells us they tried to boil John in oil, and he didn't die. So he was exiled to Patmos because of preaching God's word. Later, he was released, and he went to Ephesus. John outlived all the other apostles. John died at the ripe old age of 100 years old. And according to verses 1 and 2, it was the Father who gave the revelation to the Son, and then the Son shared it with John using his angel. Now there are close to 300 references to the Old Testament found in the book of Revelation. So in our study, we're going into the Old Testament for the interpretations for what God has already revealed. The book of Revelation was sent to seven actual churches in Asia Minor. As the Christians heard the message of this book. It gave them strength and it gave them hope. No doubt the greatest reason was to help them examine their own lives to determine those areas that might need correction. As it is with God's word, number one, they were to hear the word. Number two, they were to keep and guard it as a treasure. And number three, they were to practice what it said. The blessing would come not just by hearing, but by doing. Now, it's important to understand, Bible scholars see in these seven churches that we're about to study a time span of church history, the last 2,000 years of the church age, from apostolic times, Ephesus leaving their first love, to the apostate days that you and I are now living in, Laodicea, the lukewarm church. These letters remind us the exalted head of the church, speaking of Jesus Christ, knows what is going on in each fellowship. Our relationship to him and his word determines the life and ministry of the local body of believers. These churches in Asia Minor were facing persecution. It was important they stayed related to the Lord and to each other. We see them pictured as seven separate lampstands, each giving light in a dark world. Unfortunately, situations existed in at least five of these churches that required correction if their lights were to shine brightly. But as we read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we're going to notice the Lord always reminds them of who he is, and he encourages them to be overcomers. The one thing we need to pay particular attention to is the promise of Christ's coming. Why is that so important? Because it should be to all Christians at all times a motivation for obedience and consecration. Here the Apostle John is allowed to give us a picture of the Holy Spirit in his fullness. I mean, we know there are not seven Holy Spirits. There is only one. A reference to what John is saying is Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Here Christ is seen in his threefold office. First, that of a prophet, he's a faithful witness. Second, that of a priest, firstborn from the dead. And third, that of a king, ruler over the kings of the earth. Now, we know this isn't a reference to the rapture of the church, because when Christ comes at the rapture to meet us in the clouds of the air, Jesus is coming as a thief. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 to 4, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. At the rapture, Christ will come to take his bride, the church, home to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Matthew chapter 22, Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9, and he's going to reward the believers at the Bema seat, or his judgment seat. Romans 14, verses 10 to 12, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 to 15. The overriding theme of the book of Revelation is the return of Jesus Christ to defeat all evil and to establish his 1,000-year millennial kingdom as we reign with him as kings and priests. Revelation is actually a book of victory. Believers are seen as overcomers. The statement, verse 7, "Behold, he is coming with clouds," it describes Christ's return to this earth at his second coming. We have this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. The Apostle John says, "Now I saw heaven opened, And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. You see, the world will recognize Jesus. I mean, it's going to be public. He's not returning in secret. We're told here every eye will see him coming. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24:30, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." With how quickly we've seen our country and our world deteriorate in the last year alone, I truly believe the next event on God's prophetic calendar will be the rapture of the church, when Christ meets us in the air to take us to glory, to the third heaven where God's throne is. Jesus' promise to the church in Revelation 3, verses 10 and 11, is a strong indication that the church will not go through any part of the great tribulation period. Revelation 3:10, Jesus said, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth." Here's what we're going to study and need to understand. After the church is removed and taken to heaven, the events laid out in Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19 will take place. We'll have the rise of the man of sin, the Antichrist, the great tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation where God's wrath will be poured out on a God-rejected world, the destruction of mankind, man-made world government, and then Christ's return to earth to set up his 1,000-year kingdom. In verse 9 of chapter 1, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am him who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. The most radical thing John sees is this vision of the post-incarnate Christ in his glorified body as Jesus is judging his church. Here our Lord is in the midst of the seven lampstands. I mean, we're told by Jesus in verse 20, these seven lampstands represent what? The seven churches. It's speaking of Jesus being the head of the church and wanting light. In fact, he's the one who gives the Holy Spirit to get that light. So if a lamp isn't giving out good light and keeps smoking, he's going to put it out. John describes Jesus. He says his hair is as white as snow. It speaks of his eternity. His eyes as a flame of fire. It speaks of his penetrating insight, an eyewitness of the entire life of the church. The feet of brass speak of judgment. The brazen altar in the Old Testament was a place where sin was judged. His voice as the sound of many waters, that's speaking of two things. Number one, the power of his word, like the sea. Number two, all divine revelation coming together in Jesus Christ. It's amazing when you think about it. The very voice that this universe, that spoke this universe into existence, will be the voice that will raise his people from the grave at any moment, the rapture of the church. Jesus gave four reasons for us not to be afraid. Number one, he said, I am the first and the last. You know what that speaks of? It speaks of his deity, that he is God, God the Son. He's the first because there were none before him. He's last because there are none after him. He is God. One God made up in three personalities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All one God. Secondly, he says, I am he who lives and was dead. It speaks of his redemptive death and resurrection. It shows us our faith in him is not in vain. Thirdly, Jesus said, and behold, I am alive forevermore. This is speaking of where he is presently and of our eternity with him. You gotta love it. Fourth, Jesus said, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. The keys speak of authority and they speak of power. The greatest news we're given today, Jesus has the keys. Hades is a Greek word for the unseen world. The unseen world in Hades is in the center of the earth. It's in the center of the earth. One day it's going to be emptied out of the souls of the lost at the end of the millennium at the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. And they're going to stand before Jesus Christ and be judged. We'll see this in the weeks to come. The Lord dealing with the seven churches. Jesus is standing in their midst and he's considering their spiritual condition. You see, it doesn't matter what men or denominations think of a church. Here's the bottom line. What does Jesus Christ think of it? The warning to the church is very clear. Christ would remove their testimony. Jesus said in Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The bottom line is, our Lord would rather have a city in total darkness than to have a lampstand out of his divine will. Next time, we're going to look at the Church of Ephesus, the backslidden, loveless church. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. God, we ask your blessings now on the rest of our day. Go before us. Continue to draw us ever closer to you, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.